Get ready for Cyclone Fanatic Radio.
This is the Cyclone Fanatic Radio Show, brought to you by Carl Chevrolet, your dealer for life. Now, live from Benchwarmers Sports Bar in Ankeny, here's Chris Williams and Brent Bloom.
Thanks, AD. It's the Cyclone Fanatic Radio Show, live from Benchwarmers in Ankeny, presented by your dealer for life, Carl Chevrolet. I'm Jared Stansberry, joined by Brent Bloom. What's up, dude?
What's happening?
And Mr. Rob Gray, sitting in for Chris Williams for the first half hour of our show.
Yep. I went to the bottom of the bench, plucked me.
I don't know. I'd say the other Gray is the bottom of the bench.
That's probably a fair. That's good analysis, as usual.
Well, it's kind of a somber show. Not only is this the season finale of the Cyclone Fanatic Radio Show, the March Madness is done for the Cyclones.
Yeah, it's kind of you haven't been married yet, but you will at some point. When you have the great party for your wedding night, and then you have to come back the next day and then clean it up. It's like, I guess the whole thing's over now. Now we have to look into the future and see what happens. But like those guys talked about earlier, if you would have told me that Iowa State got to the second weekend with what they had to deal with this year, I think by all means that's a pretty good success. And from the start against Virginia, though, it was you kind of had a feeling when they're up, 22-5, it's going to be tough on those guys. And the crazy thing is you saw Syracuse do something similar, only for them to figure it out and make the run that we were hoping Iowa State would make Friday. That kind of stung yesterday to watch that because you thought that Virginia was unbeatable when they were up 17. But I think by and large a successful season for year one of Coach Prohm and the end of a lot of great careers, but hopefully the start of the Prohm era and off to good things.
I would agree, and I just want to add this. Does anything typify the college basketball season more than all Virginia had to do was play 5 minutes of perfect basketball to end Iowa State season?
That was it.
They played pretty much perfect basketball. They played darn well, but not that great against Syracuse early, and then obviously couldn't hang on against a team that still, how they got in, you know, they're doing what they need to do, and I give them credit for that. But it's been such a crazy season, and just such small segments can make such big differences. Sad deal, but, yeah, Sweet 16 with all the turmoil, pretty good.
And we talked all week about how tough of a matchup Virginia was going to be defensively, but when they're knocking down shots with hands in the face and you get guys like Isaiah Wilkins, I think he hit a jumper early on in that game, and he's not a guy that's normally doing. I think the game plan was to let him shoot jumpers like that. And when Virginia starts hitting those shots, you weren't going to beat him. And what really had me kind of confused is you saw Iowa State put that press on at the end of the game on Friday, and then Syracuse puts their press on. Well, they diced Iowa State's up. Syracuse puts their press on. That's what it was that got them back in the game. It makes you wonder, what was it that was so different from Iowa State's press to Syracuse that threw them off that much?
I mean, I think it's almost as simple as Syracuse has those guys with length that they can really bother and pressure Virginia, where Iowa State doesn't. And, you know, I think Monte, George, great players, but they don't have the length of a Roberson or a Leiden or some of those guys that Syracuse had. That changed. And then Virginia lost their minds, which I didn't think was possible. Yeah. They literally did not know what they were doing. I think they've had their cars on the way to Houston. They didn't know, and they forgot to finish the game. And I think for Iowa State, how many times they get down to seven there in that second half, and you're just thinking, hey, one more shot, and this thing will turn the tide a little bit. But they could never get over that seven-point barrier. Monte had like three looks at it. If any one of those goes, maybe it's different. But, Rob, you're right. It's that first 5 minutes of the game. They were making shots, yes, with hands in the face, but they were also getting some room service layups that were way, way too easy. I don't know if Iowa State just wasn't quite ready for what they were running, or Virginia came out like a house on fire, whatever it was. That was the old Mike Tyson TKO, and it was almost impossible once Niang got in foul trouble to respond.
And Toby was so key for them in that game. So many offensive rebounds and putbacks, and showing things again, showing all year was a career high, or season high at least, effort for him points-wise. And it seemed like every time somebody had a shot at a defensive board, there Toby was.
Right there.
To extend whether Iowa State was making a mini run or whatever it was. And, you know, credit to they played a great game that day. And just as this tournament has shown, you don't play a great game, great 40 minutes the next one, you're shaking your head, what the heck happened?
And at the end of the day, only eight teams make the Elite Eight. And we saw what Iowa State's limitations were all year, just get beaten by a better team, and that's they struggled to stretches to guard, and then they struggled to clear rebounds once they did get stops. And that was eventually their undoing. I thought offensively in the second half they were fine. They actually played pretty well against a darn good defense in Virginia, but it was just too little too late. And once they got behind 16 they couldn't clear those boards, they almost had to play perfect basketball the rest of the way, and they just couldn't do it.
And then there was obviously the last game for George Niang. I feel like in my mind, he kind of, I think he, I don't even, solidified how good he really is by scoring 30 points on Virginia, a team that was so vaunted defensively and so highly touted, and he still went out there and scored 30 points. And I guess that kind of just justified the season that he'd had, his position nationally, that it really solidified for me.
And again, they switched three different guys on him. None of them could guard him. And you're right. It was a almost fitting way for him to go out, in that he can score on anybody. Nobody in the country could guard him. You thought Malcolm Brogdon might be the best defender. He was no match because he could post him up. They tried the big guy on him. He drove right by him, and they throw double teams at him. He still scored on that, and he was great. And just wasn't enough, though, because as great as George was as an offensive player, he still gave up some baskets on the other end, and he got in foul trouble. So, again, it's almost as if this game was indicative of the whole year, where Iowa State could not survive if they didn't have other help with George, if they're playing poor defensively. And then more than anything this year, whenever George got in foul trouble, it was almost a death knell, because they couldn't find an answer for him. They didn't have the depth on the bench, and it did him in again. Because when Burton was in there, and even though it was just like a little 6-2 run, when it was McKay and Burton in there, it was enough to take what was a 8-point game to 12, and then you got no shot.
And I wanted to pick your brain on this. Chris and I were talking after the game on Friday. It's no matter where he goes to do draft workouts or whatever, and you know teams are watching him, whether it's the combine, just individual workouts, whatever, he's going to score on people.
He will.
And I mean,
won't matter.
Is that something? As an NBA executive, wouldn't you think that people are going to notice that, and that's going to help his draft stock, regardless of you know some of the intangibles that might not be there physically?
It'll help. The problem is he's never going to be a guy that's a 15 shot a game guy in the NBA, and quite frankly, everybody in the NBA can score, or else you wouldn't be thought of at that level. So he's got to find something that he can be really good at. And he's either got to be just a knockdown shooter, which maybe he can get there. Defensively is just always going to be a problem. So he's got to get a lot better defensively to have a role. I think somebody will take a chance on him, whether that's in the second round. And it really doesn't even matter if you're a second-round pick. You could just be a free agent at that point. It's the same difference because you're going to make a camp. Somebody will take a look at him, and he's got all the intangibles that are off the charts. But so did Melvin Edgem, and Melvin Edgem hasn't played a single play in the NBA. So I still think it's tough for George, but yeah, if I have one guy that can score, I know that's the name of the game, but in the NBA all those guys are capable of scoring. I don't know if that'll be enough for him. My gosh, I hope so, because that league would be so much more interesting with George and Yang in it.
Well, I would agree, but what has typified George's journey from self-described pudgy eighth grader to everything else was this this unwavering devotion to outworking other people and working harder. Nobody thought he'd be the guy to go and star for a Power 5 basketball team out of the group of guys he was around, out of the group of guys he was with at Tilton.
Yep.
Yet he did. Think about how bad he was defensively to start. He didn't have any skills. I mean, yes, he's out of shape and all that too. All the transformations he made from mindset to body, it bodes well. Now again, in conjunction with what you were saying, at some point, you know, hard work butts up against the ceiling. And, you know, where is that ceiling? I'll tell you this. If George Niang ends up being a guy who doesn't make it, and I still very much think he can, he's going to make a lot of money in Europe, and he's going to be one of those guys that every fan probably feels the same way about George Niang, whether it's in Antwerp or, Munich. As they did in Ames.
No question. And I always tell this story. When I worked for the Magic for 2 years, it was J.J. Redick's second and third years there. and he was pretty much a nobody at that point. Didn't play at all. But that guy was in the gym every single day, later than anybody, got there before everybody, just working, working, working. And now look at him. He's a 15-point-a-game guy, a starter on a really good Clippers team. And he's actually – he went from a zero on defense, couldn't guard you right now, Jared, to a pretty good defender now because he worked harder. You wouldn't say J.J. Redick's this elite athlete by any means, but he learned angles, he learned space. I think George is – I don't even know if he can be a good defender, but I think he could be adequate enough if he works at his craft, and he's going to have to do it. So I think it's been done before where players that have not had the athletic ability have made it as decent defenders with their mind, and he's got a sharp mind, George. So if it's a way to do it, he'll find a way to do it. Otherwise, he's going to be a very wealthy man because those guys in Europe could still make a nice, nice living.
We're going to go to the Wheeze Tease hotline. Bruce wants to talk about the NBA. What's up, Bruce?
Did you ever watch Fred Hoiberg play in the NBA?
I did.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, he had one. He was about a 12-minute game guy, you know. And he had one task, and that was to be opposite the ball, spread the court. If they didn't come out on him, well, then he could make the basket. But he couldn't guard those guards that he was in there, you know, the starting guards. He couldn't guard them. But they helped him out, and he was only in there for 12 minutes. And Brad Lohaus, remember him?
Mm-hmm.
He's like a 12-minute guy. Same thing, outside shooter. And so I don't think it's really as – I think that Niang can help somebody like – the Spurs or somebody that, you know, play his kind of game, because he does have an outside game which he can improve on. But he also, if they do put a slower guy on him, then he does have the moves inside. He can exploit, I think, some of those players from in two different ways, depending on what kind of player they put on him. But he's not going to play a lot of minutes because, like you say, defense. But he can get help. I think he'll make the roster.
No, I agree. I think the best point you make there, the point that resonated most with me, was the fit factor. You know, where does he land? Because, you know, you get guys that can help a team, can really complement other guys who are established stars and could come in. Even if they're helping him out a lot in practice, it gets him noticed more. And then it builds on that work ethic.
And he's a smart player. He's a great passer. You know, a team that likes that kind of player, he can get some minutes, and that's all they need.
Appreciate the call, Bruce. Yeah, no, I think it's – there's just only so many spots in the NBA, even as opposed to years ago. And I know Fred made it, Lohaus made it, all those guys made it, and tip my cap to them for doing that. But I keep coming back to – DeAndre Kane and Melvin Ejiofor have never played a single play in the NBA, and I would say those guys are higher-level athletes than George was. I think George will get a look, and that's all you can ask for. It's just now finding the fit and then finding a roster spot, because a lot of these teams now stash these Europeans in the second round that aren't even going to come over to the States, but that's what they use their second-round pick on. So if you have a second-rounder, do you want to use it on a 23-year-old, 24-year-old Niang who may or may not help you, or do you want to, you know, stash some guy in, you know, Lithuania who could help you in 4 years, but who cares if he doesn't? So, I mean, there's different parts of the draft process that make it complicated, and he will make a training camp, and it's up to him then. Can he fit in well enough to make it work? And work ethic-wise and tangibles, I would love to see that guy in the league. I think if he gets the right chance, he will stay, but he just has to get that chance first.
We've got Ryan on the phone, too. He wants to talk about the NBA. What's up, Ryan? You're on the Cyclone Fanatic Radio Show.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. First, I want to comment on what Bruce just said there. Bruce might not have been paying attention, but the Minnesota Timberwolves did not make the NBA Finals when they were in the Western Conference Finals because they played Wally Szczerbiak over Fred Moore, because Fred could lock down guys on the perimeter, and Wally Szczerbiak's idea of man-to-man defense was, help, switch. So... that was one of
that's why Wally's on TV now.
Right. However, Fred was a really good perimeter defender and could shoot the ball over 40% from three. To that point, I want you guys to I want your take on my take on some of these guys, right? I think George Niang, a lot of comparisons, like earlier in the show on the Cyhawk show, was to Boris Diaw. I really don't think that that's a good comparison. I actually think George Niang, and what do you guys think on this, is more like a Matt Bonner. He needs to be able to defend at times inside, so he needs to work on post defense, and he also needs to be a bench guy that could potentially play the three given the right situation. But you have to understand where Matt Bonner made his living. It was with the Spurs, right? So get with a guy like a Popovich that can see that need to be able to shoot the three over 40%, and that's the big difference, Brent, I think, with Edgem and Kane, is they were good outside shooters, but they weren't guys that could hit it at a 40% clip. So for George, he's got to work on the three-point shot and get it even better, and then I think he's got to kind of be that Matt Bonner guy. And I think Wes Washburn, now to kind of move to him, I think there's a lot of Russell Westbrook in his game. The thing that he can't do is shoot the ball from the outside right as much. And if he can improve that outside shot and just overall scoring, the kid is so athletic. There's going to be very few guys that could get him. Jared Uthoff is actually the guy that I don't know where he fits, because guys get into his space and he doesn't like that offensively. He can be a standstill knockdown shooter, but George Niang can ball fake and get some separation and put up a shot. Uthoff doesn't like to do that. The guy that I actually think, if he wants to, and I'd like to hear your comments on this too, and I know I've thrown a lot out there, thanks for letting me go, but Abdel Nader, I think, actually has the body and the skill set. He'd have to improve a little bit more on the three-point shot, and he could improve on the defense, but he's got the overall size and athleticism and length that you would look for from a wing player. But in terms of Fred Hoiberg, he was a good perimeter D man, and I'd like to hear what you guys have to say on all of that. Thank you for letting me call.
Good stuff, Ryan.
Thanks, Ryan. First, I'll touch on George. I think the thing with the Spurs, that's a team that you've heard kind of thrown around a lot, you know, when it comes to talking about George. And I think that if you were going to get into a situation in the NBA, I'd want him to be on a good team. If he got on a bad team, then he would not be in the league very long, I don't think.
I agree. And I like the Matt Bonner one. The only issue is Matt Bonner 6'10".
Yeah.
And so that's 3 inches in the NBA is a lot. That's a lot of money. And Matt at least Bonner can at least guard a four. Mm-hmm. I don't know if – I mean, some of those guys are it's 6'9 and above to be a four in that league. But as far as the Uthoff one, what the scouts always say, what translates the best from college to the NBA is rebounding and blocking shots. And those are two things that Uthoff statistically did pretty well at Iowa. I mean, I think he led the Big Ten in block shots, and he's got that length. So I agree on the offensive part. I think he'd struggle offensively in the league, but he could be a defender. Who was the dude for the Hawks who had a long career in the NBA, played for the Denver Nuggets?
Ryan Bowen.
Ryan Bowen, that type of player, where he just stuck around forever because he rebounded and he blocked shots and he ran and didn't really score. But you still need role players. And – I always say in the NBA you need to do one thing extremely well. You need to have a specialty. And I think Uthoff could be a pretty good defender. I mean, he's not going to be a physical kid, but he can block some shots. And then I agree with Washburn, too. I like that. I think he's an elite-level athlete. If he ever learns to shoot, same thing with Deontay Garrett. The reason Deontay Garrett never really stuck is because he can never get down a knockdown shot. And if you're a point guard in the NBA, you have to make jump shots. You just have to anymore. So that's a good call, though. I think we touched on pretty much everything that Ryan said, but it's fun because this is, as Iowa people, we don't have an NBA team, so these guys are our NBA team in a way, to see where their careers progress. And unfortunately, in this golden era of Iowa State basketball, the last 4 and 5 years, there really hasn't been an NBA player that has stuck except for Bryce DeJean Jones, of all people. Yeah. So it's just interesting how that's worked. We thought Royce would be the automatic, but he's clearly not been.
We'll talk more about the future of Iowa State basketball when we come back. You're listening to the Cyclone Fanatic Radio Show live from Benchwarmers in Ankeny, presented by your dealer for life, Carl Chevrolet, on Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO.
Just announced, Truck Month has been extended at Carl Chevrolet. With over 400 new Chevy Silverados to choose from, Carl Chevrolet is your local Truck Month destination. Right now, take advantage of up to 25% off total value savings on select in-stock Chevy Silverados, the Midwest's number one selling truck. Or get behind the wheel of a new Cruise LT or Malibu LT with zero-due sign-and-drive lease offers. When it comes to overall value on your next vehicle, there's not a better time to save than Truck Month. And no better place to visit than Carl Chevrolet. Find new roads and see why more Iowans drive Chevy. Visit carlchevrolet.com for complete details or stop in and see us today. Carl Chevrolet, I-35, exit 90, in Ankeny at The Rock.
Your dealer for life, Carl Chevrolet.
There are three numbers Gershman Mortgage wants you to know. One, your credit score. The higher the score, the better your credit. The better your credit, the lower your loan interest, the more money you save. Two, what is the percentage rate of your current mortgage? Getting a lower mortgage rate, even 0.5%, can save you tens of thousands of dollars. Three, your wife's birthday. Forget that, and the other two numbers become insignificant. Oh, and here's one more number. 330-2930. Gershman Mortgage. When buying a home, get educated, not sold. Give us a call.
Visit Phillips Floors at their huge new 10,000 square foot Ankeny showroom located at 6263 Northeast Industry Drive, just a couple of minutes west of I-35 on the Corporate Woods exit, or just a few minutes north of I-80 on the Northeast 14th Street exit, or visit us on the web at www.phillipsfloors.com. Phillips Floors, we stand behind what you stand on.
Nebraska Furniture Mart proudly supports CycloneFanatic.com. So let me ask you this. Are you ready to upgrade your game day TV to catch every Cyclone play this season? Nebraska Furniture Mart has you covered. Plus, they shop the competition, so you don't have to. Every day, Nebraska Furniture Mart updates its electronic price tag, so you know you are getting the low price that you deserve. Stop by their store in Clive. It's just one block south of Hickman down on 94th Street to see the savings for yourself. Nebraska Furniture Mart in Clive, a proud supporter of CycloneFanatic.com.
Don't let an injury keep you out of the game. Trust the McFarland orthopedic surgeons and sports medicine professionals who care for area high school and collegiate athletes. McFarland Clinic physicians Buck, Greenwald, and Warmy are board certified and fellowship trained in providing the latest surgical and rehab treatment for sports-related injuries. Call 515-239-4475 for more information.
Every growing season presents new challenges. That's why AgriGold has developed one of the most diverse genetic lineups in the industry. We categorize our hybrids into families, each with its own genetic characteristics and environmental tolerances. This gives AgriGold farmers a simple way to diversify their genetics and manage risk, ensuring they'll be rewarded come harvest no matter what the season throws at them. When it comes to higher yields, no one knows corn like we do. For more information, visit AgriGold.com. At AgriGold, we know corn.
One thing's for sure, if you're listening to this program, we can probably agree that we're all Iowa State fans. But what about pro sports? Who's your favorite NFL team, NBA team, baseball, hockey? Whatever it is, you'll find that team's flag at Heartland Flagpoles and Flags. Every team, every sport, every flag, almost. Shop for yourself online, heartlandflags.com. It's an easy-to-search-for-the-flag-you-want website. Click the banner ad on CycloneFanatic.com to go straight to the Iowa State merchandise. Or search for the flag you want, heartlandflags.com.
This is Iowa State Athletics Director Jamie Pollard, and you're listening to Des Moines Sports Station 1460 KXNO.
It's a Cyclone Fanatic radio show live from Benchwarmers in Ankeny, presented by your dealer for life, Carl Chevrolet. Jared Stansberry, Rob Gray, Brent Bloom. We are entranced by the UConn and Texas women's basketball game currently in the Elite Eight.
This is like a buzzer beater. They're only up five.
Yeah.
I mean, that's might as well go down the wire.
That's miraculous. The biggest surprise.
So Texas lost twice in the Big 12, and yet they do gambling on women's basketball tournament games.
Uh-huh.
And producer Sean was saying they were 32-point favorites, UConn. In the Elite Eight.
Well, they won by 60 in the Sweet 16.
That's silly.
Is this bad for women's basketball? I know this. We're not really talking about women's basketball, but I want you guys to take on this.
Because
I think that it is.
I don't like it. I'd rather watch. I like watching the women's basketball tournament. I don't like watching blowouts. It's just not fun for me.
No.
I would go watch a varsity against a JV team if I want to do that.
All the greater athleticism and flow of the game that women's basketball has showcased maybe in the last decade to 15, you know, everyone's gotten faster, everyone's gotten more. Yet you still always go into these tournaments, and there's one team every now and then, two or three, that could win the title. And so rare. Who was it? Louisville upset mm-hmm. somebody. But then they went on and got – I mean, that's so rare. It's like the antithesis of March Madness on the men's side where you see these bizarre upsets left and right. Maybe there's a happy medium in there, but the women's side, it's so – when a team like UConn is this good, it's just untouchable.
And some people appreciate greatness, and they're certainly great. Yeah. I mean, what they're doing is unbelievable. It's just I think you're right that we're not – the casual fan doesn't see the progress that women's basketball has made because they just think UConn and Baylor are going to win it every year.
Right.
Mainly just UConn. It's just not – I mean, there's no reason to watch this. Oh, this is only a 5-point game, so I might watch for another quarter. Yeah. It's just – it makes it tough to watch.
And I think maybe it'll be a little bit better. I think there's a Washington and Syracuse, the other two teams that have already made the Final Four, and they're 5 and a 7 seed. So, you know, that maybe that helps with that a little bit. The competitive balance is a little bit better.
Is Gino that much smarter than everybody else?
Like that's what I don't understand.
At some point, if I'm a player and I go, okay, why would I go there – if I can go somewhere else and start, mm-hmm. but maybe if you're getting a scholarship from UConn, you think you are the best player, and somebody
and you'll bide your time,
you'll buy
and
your
you'll...
team get there.
But is it that Gino Auriemma and Kim Mulkey and Pat Summitt are like, what is it that they? I want to know what it is that is about them that they've got the secret of women's basketball figured out.
And Gino more than any of them, but he's
some
found
of it's
a
coaching,
way.
A ton of it is recruiting. But like you said, Brent, I mean. At some point, as you see in other, you know, football, for instance, guys want to go and star somewhere right away. I mean, why, you know,
why wait your time?
The pine for a while.
Yeah. So, but it looks like they'll waltz their way to another national championship.
Yep.
You can join.
Gino needs.
Yeah. You can join in on the conversation. Call into the Wheeze Tees Hotline 515-284-5966. That's the Wheeze Tees Hotline 515-284-5966. You can jump in. On the conversation here, talk Cyclones or women's basketball, whatever. Another guy, well, they kind of got touched on in that last segment, and that was Abdul Nader. You guys, when we were at the game in Chicago afterwards, he was broken up. Couldn't even talk to the media. Had a towel over his head. He was struggling, and it hits me deep. You know, as a former athlete, when you see a guy like that, that sometimes had taken some criticism from Iowa State fans and or someone like Jameel McKay, who was shedding tears as well. And all the stuff that you heard about them all season, some of the bad stuff that you heard about them, that I'm going to remember them for that as much as anything, I guess.
Just think of Abdul Nader's last month. He was terrific.
Yeah.
He really was. And he's a player who was a transfer under Fred. Sat out a year just so he could play for Iowa State. Last year was kind of a disappointment. Some people called him, you know, lumped him in with DeJon Jones, called him troublemaker, and, you know, sometimes his attitude wasn't great all the time. But he almost left when they hired Prohm and yet stuck it out, was the best player in fall preseason, and pretty much was very consistent all the way through it. I thought his defense on Malcolm Brogdon was fantastic. Mm-hmm. And they didn't really let him do much. Abdul played really hard, and I think he, just to echo the caller before, I think of the people with the physical tools, Abdul probably has the best of any on Iowa State to play in the NBA. I don't think he will, but I think he's got the physical tools to do that. And I was so excited for that guy that he had a good senior year and went out with encouragement at the end. Now, it's never easy to be over. There's only one team that wins a national championship. But I thought Abdul was really good, and you guys are on the locker room a lot. These guys do care. Mm-hmm. And I think that gets lost quite a bit. Even though Jameel was going through his stuff, I think it came from a good place and that he wanted to impact Iowa State and he wanted to really be a big part of this team. And sometimes he wasn't. I think that's where some of the frustration came from. But they cared. They really did. They didn't play well at times, but they really do care.
Yeah, I think Nader just, body type and athleticism translates extremely well. I'd echo that. And the caring part, I mean, I'm going to share a story. Before senior day, I talked to Naz Long about all the other seniors. Mm-hmm. And I did a story, but not everything, even if you're writing for the internet, gets in the story. And when I asked him about Abdel Nader and how he seemed to be always be quiet and reserved, now I wonder if, as good as he was this year, he'd still have those games 21, 4, 18, yep. 6, 8, 20, 2. Not, you know, I mean, it was a little bit up and down. Yeah. He was sort of cycling mm-hmm. around, mm-hmm. but always, you know, when I asked him about him in that reserved nature, it seemed, he said, well, he said he got as close to Abdul as he possibly could because he wanted to know who this guy was, because he didn't really feel like he knew who he was last year. And what he found was a guy that he felt was very deep, very caring toward everyone in that room, and I think in a general sense. And maybe a guy, you know, I don't want to put words in his mouth, but he said if you've got to know Abdul and if you asked him questions pertaining to maybe not, oh, you scored 18 points this game, or, oh, you struggled shooting this game, you'd see a whole different side to him. And he said he had his utmost respect. And, you know, coming from Naz, you know, the quintessential, the consummate locker room guy, that definitely struck me.
That's a great story. George gets all the attention, but the other two seniors, they had a huge impact on winning as well. And I know Jameel's year, a lot of people weren't happy with it, but mm-hmm. he stuck it out. He could have left as well. I think he probably contemplated, but he stuck it out and helped Iowa State get to a Sweet 16. Once they went there 5 times in their history.
Yep.
So, I by and large, tip of the cap to all those guys, and I hope they have long professional basketball careers doing what they love, because it's once you're in the NCAA tournament, the D League or Europe isn't quite as glamorous as that. So you hope they play for the love of the game and make a good living doing it.
We'll look ahead to Iowa State basketball next season when we come back. You're listening to the Cyclone Fanatic Radio Show live from Benchwarmers in Ankeny, presented by your dealer for life, Carl Chevrolet, on Des Moines Sports Station 1460 KXNO.
Admit it. You judge a sports bar on 3 key criteria: TVs, food, and wings. Consider this our entry into the category for best wings. Ken from Thunderhead Sports Bar and Grill here. Our wings are flame broiled to sear in that juicy flavor, generously lathered in our signature homemade sauces. Barbecue?
Sure.
Buffalo?
Of course.
But how about garlic jalapeno, sweet bourbon, or Caribbean jerk to go along with 11 other originals you'll only find at Thunderhead Sports Bar and Grill?
You've just been Thunderstruck.
Thunderhead Sports Bar and Grill, Ankeny.
We've run into a bit of a snag with your home loan.
What?
Sorry, but we're going to have to delay your closing for a few days, okay?
Not okay at all. The movers are already here and my home is packed in boxes. Are you kidding me?
Don't let a stressful and delayed closing take the joy out of your next home purchase. At Lincoln Savings Bank, they put their money where their mouth is, providing local approvals and the extensive home loan products that fit your needs. Best of all, the mortgage professionals at LSB are there for you when you need them most. Lincoln Savings Bank is dedicated to providing the service and value you need for your purchase loans. So don't let ruin your day. Visit one of LSB's convenient locations in Clive, Ankeny, and Adel today, or check out their loan closing guarantee at mylsb.com/guarantee. Lincoln Savings Bank. The right people, the right process. Period. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Visit Phillips Floors at their huge new 10,000-square-foot Ankeny showroom located at 6263 Northeast Industry Drive, just a couple of minutes west of I-35 on the Corporate Woods exit, or just a few minutes north of I-80 on the Northeast 14th Street exit. Or visit us on the web at www.phillipsfloors.com. Phillips Floors, we stand behind what you stand on.
One thing's for sure, if you're listening to this program, we can probably agree that we're all Iowa State fans. But what about pro sports? Who's your favorite NFL team, NBA team, baseball, hockey? Whatever it is, you'll find that team's flag at Heartland Flagpoles and Flags. Every team, every sport, every flag, almost. Shop for yourself online, heartlandflags.com. It's an easy-to-search for the flag you want website. Click the banner ad on cyclonefanatic.com to go straight to the Iowa State merchandise. Or search for the flag you want, heartlandflags.com.
You know you want it. A place all your own. Some call it the man cave. Others call it necessity. Maybe you have that special place in your basement or garage, but you want to put your stamp on it. Performance Concrete Polishing can help. You dream it, and we can create almost anything. Colors, designs, logos, or sports themes. These floors are easy to clean and shiny. Be unique and create something to be envied by your buddies. We now offer financing. Performance Concrete Polishing, the nemesis of ugly, boring concrete. concrete floors.
Every growing season presents new challenges. That's why AgriGold has developed one of the most diverse genetic lineups in the industry. We categorize our hybrids into families, each with its own genetic characteristics and environmental tolerances. This gives AgriGold farmers a simple way to diversify their genetics and manage risk, ensuring they'll be rewarded come harvest no matter what the season throws at them. When it comes to higher yields, no one knows corn like we do. For more information, visit AgriGold.com. At AgriGold, we know corn.
Cyclone Fanatics, the job world is a competitive place, and at all times you need to dress for success. This is exactly why you should stop into Mr. B Clothing down at 1995 Northwest 86th Street in Clive and see my buddy Tim Sitzman. Now, Mr. B Clothing is a longtime supporter of CycloneFanatic.com, but is also unmatched when it comes to the men's clothing game in Des Moines. The Mr. B staff is friendly, fun, they're very knowledgeable, and trust me, these guys will get you looking good for that next job interview, wedding, or just your everyday wardrobe. When you stop into Mr. B Clothing, be sure to tell them thank you for supporting CycloneFanatic.com.
Your home for Iowa State women's basketball is right here. This is head coach Bill Fenley on Des Moines Sports Station 1460 KXNO.
It's a Cyclone Fanatic radio show live from Bench Warmers in Ankeny, presented by your dealer for life, Carl Chevrolet, on Des Moines Sports Station 1460 KXNO. I'm Jared Stansberry, joined by Brent Bloom and Rob Gray. Guys, there's going to be a lot of questions. Not quite as many questions as there were going into last year's basketball offseason, but there will still be there a fair share this season. First of all, the future of Monte Morris at Iowa State, and he said after the game Friday night that he does, or he most likely will attempt to try and go to the combine, and he'll throw his name out there into the NBA draft. And obviously, that's something that you should do to take advantage of the new rule. Brent, what do you think he's going to hear when he does that?
Well, just because I think people throw out the word combine, and I'm not sure everybody realizes what goes on here. So it's not quite like the NFL combine. It's similar, but this is open to now everybody who wants to test the
waters.
You have
to get an invite.
But you have to get an invite. Yeah. Like I chuckle at this Coach Cal in Kentucky saying all my walk-ons are going to go test the waters as well. Well, if you're invited to Chicago, which is where the combine is, you have to be asked by somebody in the NBA. And Monte is one of those guys who will be asked. But last year, there were only 63 people at the combine. Your upper tier guys, like your top five guys, probably won't go through the combine. They might do the measurements and things. But then following that, so that's a three-day process where they do some scrimmaging, they do some measurements, they do some ball drills, they do some jump shooting, and you get a pretty good read on what scouts think you have or what you need to work on. And then you have 10 days following that combine to either declare for the NBA or go back to college. So after that 10 days, you have to make your decision. In the past, you had to declare before the combine, and so the guys couldn't get that feedback. That's why this is going to be great for players like Monte Morris, because last year he would have had to roll the dice and say, well, I'm hearing I might be a first-round pick, but I don't really know for sure. We're usually coming out of the combine, you have a pretty good idea where you're going to be. I think he'll probably get a second-round grade, and if that's the case, second-round money is not guaranteed. And if you're a second-round pick, it's hard to make the NBA. So if that's the case, I think if he's a second-round grade, he'll come back to Ames and play for Iowa State. Now, if he tears it up and the scouts love him and somebody says, oh, we'll guarantee you be a first-rounder, I think he's got to consider that. But I highly doubt that will happen. I think this is best for him to come back to Iowa State, and it certainly helps Cyclones for next season.
Yeah, the just him being at the combine, and if he gets that second round grade, I mean, it's as if you're going to one of those Portsmouth type things,
yes,
except even higher level. You get that, the entire experience, you make yourself better, you understand what it's going to take for you to be into that, you know, to fit the mold of that first round sort of grade, and boom, you bring that back to Ames.
That's a great point, because those guys are going to be brutally honest with you. It's not Steve Prohm, not that Prohm wouldn't be honest, saying, oh, I think you need to work on this or this. They will say, no, you can't shoot. Until you can shoot, we're not even going to look at you. So figure out your shooting. You also need to be a better defender, Monte. Figure that out, too. If you want to be a first-round pick next year, work on these things. I think that carries a little bit of a heavier punch coming from an NBA guy, knowing where Monte wants to go. And I think that could help Iowa State next season, make him even better. And I don't think it's out of the question he could be a 17, 18-point-a-game guy next year. And between those two with that whole guard court between him, Naz, and Matt, I mean, those guys could put up 50 points a game. That's pretty exciting. A little small ball for Iowa State throwing it back a little bit.
I guess it just – this rule kind of – I don't know. It turns the whole process into a farce to me, I guess.
It does, but it helps the student-athlete.
Yeah.
It's probably not great for the college coaches because they got to wait now an extra month, really,
right,
to figure out if they need to fill a scholarship or not. And you obviously hold your scholarships ready for those NBA-caliber guys. But, I mean, why not try it? Like Jock, Morris, all these guys,
Why wouldn't Matt Thomas put his name in there?
Well, because
or Deontay Burton or someone
he could,
like that.
But they're not going to get an invite, probably.
Well, so they could still get a grade, though, couldn't they?
Or the grade might be, no.
Yeah.
Stay home.
But that's what they're going to tell guys from Kentucky, too.
Sure. You could. I mean, there's nothing holding you back other than logic.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it would be pointless if some guy from Drake decides to test the waters. Like, why waste the time and energy?
Yeah, I suppose that's true. And then I guess
Bill Abrahamson might be available.
Yeah. Well, we're getting now to the point where we're in the middle of free agent season for college basketball. So this next 2 months are wild.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be – it's almost – more entertaining than some of the games because you've got all these teams now jockeying. That throws a wrench into it, too, the whole NBA stuff.
Yeah.
You have to hold those scholarships. But Iowa State is absolutely, in the next 2 months, trying to grab a couple big guys, no doubt about it.
Well, imagine this situation. Someone puts their name into the draft, and they don't hear what they want to hear. And then their situation is, okay, they've got to come back. Well, I don't even want to come back to that place. Then they say, well, now I'm going to transfer. And then you've got a second wave of the free agent season, and then
happen.
That might even be higher level guys that who knows what can happen there,
or even those that declare and the school goes, okay, see ya.
Yeah,
like we don't want you back. We've got your scholarship ticketed for somebody else. If you're going to test it, then good. Now that probably won't happen, but I think your scenario is very realistic where once they come back, maybe they don't want to be there anymore, and then they transfer, and if they've graduated, the grad transfer rule is still there. So there's a numerous possibilities, and anymore, April and May in college basketball is a frenzy. And these guys, it kind of started with Fred, but everybody else is chiming in on this grad transfer market, and everybody's going to be involved.
And obviously adding another big is probably going to be the number one priority for Iowa State. I don't really know names to toss out there yet, but yeah, I'd have to say two bigs would be the priority number one if I'm Steve Prohm right now.
Just don't. They need him. I mean, this year it's proven you need more than one big guy.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully, look at Toby for Virginia, who's a backup. But that's what backups can do is if they get the right opportunity, they can do something.
Max Bielfeldt.
Yeah,
almost
just think, if I would say it's Max Bielfeldt, who turned Indiana from a pretty probably fringe NCAA team, they probably would have made it a little farther. But to a really, really good five seed. And he almost came to Iowa State, but with the uncertainty with Fred kind of threw things off. And those are the type of guys you're looking for. Iowa State does have one,
mm-hmm.
the Bowie kid from Milwaukee who signed his it's not the scholarship papers, it's financial aid agreement. So he's a body, but he's not a traditional post, but he can play some of the post. But they need more than just Burton, Bowie, and Emmanuel Malou in the post. And unless Simeon Carter and Brady Ernst get a lot better before our eyes, I don't think they're going to be the answers there.
I don't care if they get someone big that can score. I want someone that's 6'11", 270 pounds, and can stand in the middle of the lane and with his hands straight up in the air and protect the rim.
A true baby Shaq.
Yeah.
Well, no, except he's standing straight up. The thing with these guys, too, now, though, is when there gets to be somewhat of a glut and you get guys, you know, you see guys hitting the quote-unquote market that averaged 2 points and two rebounds, and they're 6'6", or they're, you know, they're tweeners or small forwards.
The Nick Weiler
you're rolling the
guys.
Dice on some of these guys, and then where are you, you know, who do you end up with? You got to take them. You got to know, do you bank it? You know, there's a lot of things are going to be decided whether you're playing just for this year, whether you say, gosh, I know this one really good guy is here for us. This one guy's kind of iffy. Do we take him or don't we take him for the future's sake? And not just the immediate future's sake.
And the benefit of that is you do – you know, if you did average 2 points a game, I don't think people put as much put enough weight in that 1 year, how much better you can get in 1 year of just working out and just playing, you know, in practice and stuff like that, and just saying, I'm going to dedicate myself to getting better at the game of basketball this year, not necessarily by just playing games. You can get a lot better in 1 year.
Babb's going to play.
Yeah.
He's going to be a rotation guy because he's 6'5". And length is a big deal on the defensive side. I know, okay, offensively, he's not going to be as good as his brother.
Mm-hmm.
But defense, and he probably won't be as good defensively either. But he's a legit 6'5 that can guard some of those wings that players like Monte and Hallis Cook struggled when Naz was gone to guard some of those bigger two guards. So I think Babb will have a role for this team. I don't think he starts next year, but I think he will contribute now. Like we said, just find a couple more posts, and I think that's an NCAA tournament team.
Yeah, definitely. We're going to talk. We'll wrap it up when we come back. You're listening to the Cyclone Fanatic Radio Show live from Benchwarmers in Ankeny, presented by your dealer for life, Carl Chevrolet, on Des Moines Sports Station 1460 KXNO.
Hey guys, CycloneFanatic.com is proudly sponsored by our friends at Nebraska Furniture Mart. And let me tell you, that store in Clive has everything you need to create the kitchen of your dreams. They've got top-rated appliances, flooring, and coming soon, even cabinets. There you will find everything you're looking for. More than 100 options of refrigerators, ranges, and also dishwashers. They carry the brands you trust with all of the features and colors to perfectly complete that kitchen of your dreams. It's all in one store, Nebraska Furniture Mart, just one block south of Hickman on 94th Street.
Faded and dull-looking terrazzo floors? You know, those old floors that are made of marble, quartz, and granite chips? You see them in older buildings like schools, government buildings, and offices. Most terrazzo floors have lost their color and shine because of years of neglect. Performance Concrete Polishing can restore those floors to their original beauty. Mechanically polished terrazzo is beautiful, durable, and easy to maintain. And now we offer financing. Performance Concrete Polishing, the nemesis of ugly, boring terrazzo and concrete floors.
Don't let an injury keep you out of the game. Trust the McFarland Orthopedic Surgeons and Sports Medicine Professionals who care for area high school and collegiate athletes. McFarland Clinic physicians Buck, Greenwald, and Warmy are board certified and fellowship trained in providing the latest surgical and rehab treatment for sports-related injuries. Call 515-239-4475 for more information.
Cyclone Fanatics, the job world is a competitive place, and at all times you need to dress for success. This is exactly why you should stop into Mr. B Clothing down at 1995 Northwest 86th Street in Clive and see my buddy Tim Sitzman. Now, Mr. B Clothing is a longtime supporter of CycloneFanatic.com, but is also unmatched when it comes to the men's clothing game in Des Moines. The Mr. B staff is friendly, fun, they're very knowledgeable, and trust me, these guys will get you looking good for that next job. Job interview, wedding, or just your everyday wardrobe. When you stop into Mr. B Clothing, be sure to tell them thank you for supporting CycloneFanatic.com.
There are three numbers Gershman Mortgage wants you to know. One, your credit score. The higher the score, the better your credit. The better your credit, the lower your loan interest, the more money you save. Two, what is the percentage rate of your current mortgage? Getting a lower mortgage rate, even 0.5%, can save you tens of thousands of dollars. Three, your wife's birthday, forget that, and the other two numbers become insignificant. Oh, and here's one more number, 330-2930, Gershman Mortgage. When buying a home, get educated, not sold. Give us a call.
You know we've got the wing and burger game down, but if you haven't yet tried our Thunder Pie pizzas from Thunderhead Sports Bar and Grill,
you're missing out.
Ken here. Thick and chewy crust. Absolutely loaded with an eye-popping
and taste bud intimidating
amount of toppings and ooey gooey cheese. Our Thunder Pies check in at about 5 pounds each.
We rock it then, too.
Don't settle for frozen.
Don't settle for bland.
Thunder Pies at Thunderhead Sports Bar and Grill.
You just been Thunderstruck.
Thunderhead Sports Bar and Grill, Ankeny.
This is Iowa State Athletics Director Jamie Pollard, and you're listening to Des Moines Sports Station 1460 KXNO.
It's the Cyclone Fanatic Radio Show live from Benchwarmers in Ankeny, presented by your dealer for life, Carl Chevrolet. It's the last 10 minutes of the Cyclone Fanatic Radio Show for this year. I'm sad.
When's the next one? Yeah, football season?
Yeah. That's a long time from now, though. Football got to commit today.
Saw that.
Matt Campbell and his crew are
working it.
They're doing work.
Doing the bowl dance.
Or a three-star receiver from down in Arkansas. We get to go talk to Matt Campbell tomorrow, Rob
Gray. Yes, we do. And I believe Eli Rashid.
Yeah. About the defensive line.
Yeah. We're excited.
When is spring
game? We're excited.
Game?
We're both going to be, you know.
It's a week from, 2 weeks from Saturday, isn't it?
April 6th.
Yep.
Yeah, so 2 weeks from Saturday.
It's weird to get into football. I'm not ready for football yet.
I'm not ready for football either. I'm just mourning basketball.
The good thing is you get the taste with spring ball. Spring game's over. The weather is more or less stabilized. You're going to enjoy being outside. You're going to be thinking about the tailgate.
True.
And then, you know, then football won't be able to get here soon enough.
I miss basketball so much that I'm probably going to go home and watch the rest of this UConn-Texas game.
It's only 15 points at half.
They're hanging right in there. They got to win the second half by 17 to cover then?
Yes.
Okay. That's going to be interesting.
I'm not sure it's too tall a task for Geno's.
How often do they interview an athlete at halftime? I don't think I've seen that in college before.
Maybe it's a women's
thing. Stewart does all of Geno's interviews for him. Like, I'm not even kidding. They interview every game.
I guess when you're like a once-in-a-generation player, you can do whatever you want.
So do we want Buddy Hield in Oklahoma or not? Like, part of him, that would make me mad, kind of.
Because they
essentially took Hoiball and made it their own, except Lon Kruger just found a way to do it and make it to Final Four
because he's a genius.
Hell, I don't
know. I can tell you, you were there for media days. How congenial was Lon Kruger when we kind of sidled up to him next to the table and just started asking questions about the Cyclones?
He's like everybody's happy happy old uncle.
But they're a football school. Like, that bothers me. Like, we'll go win your football.
No. It was news today that Bob Stoops will be in attendance for the Final Four. Yeah. That's when you know you're a football school.
Maybe Bob will be a part of a big game that he actually wins.
Ooh, there you go. Shots fired.
Well, it's stunning. The Twitter... You know, it was out on Twitter, you know, hey, only team in the Final Four in football and basketball. I mean, talk about an embarrassment of riches, and for Oklahoma.
Yeah, Norman's not that great a place. Lon Kruger's a great coach. To do what he's done with that group especially, I thought they were going the wrong way, heading into the Big 12 tournament, and here they are, and Buddy has been transformational, of course, but now – Cousins started making shots Woodard started making shots against. Spangler's still been awful, but they found a way to do it, and the bracket broke well for them. They did what they had to do.
Here's the scenario I see playing out. Villanova and Oklahoma played each other back in December,
and close.
Oklahoma smoked them. So they're going to be ready. Villanova's going to be ready to play. There hasn't been a team that relied on the three-point shot as much as Oklahoma does since VCU went to the Final Four in 2011. The site of that Final Four, Houston.
It's a big dome.
They shot awful.
Yep.
Awful. The whole Final Four was awful. Nobody could shoot the ball well there in Houston. And I'm speculating that Oklahoma will be the next team that can't shoot the ball well in Houston. And Villanova's going to get them back on a bigger stage than Hawaii.
I just don't know if anybody's touched North Carolina the way they're playing.
Yeah.
With Marcus Joel Berry shooting. Man. Well, it's not even him. It's been Berry, the young guy, the sophomore. Paige has been good, too. But all their assembly line
Bryce
of bigs.
Johnson is so good. I mean,
Can they trade a big guy to Iowa State?
People think George Niang was in college. People make Perry Ellichuk's. Kennedy Meeks seems like he was playing with Worthy. You know, I mean, that guy, obviously everyone associated with Cyclone Fanatic Radio Show wishes the Cyclones were in the Final Four. But it's going to be a really entertaining and intriguing Final Four. With Syracuse's presence, with the NCAA deals, the Boeheim suspension, and here they are. Probably shouldn't have got in. They're one of the last ones in, based on resume. Playing great, and they're there, you know, facing a team they're moderately familiar with. And I think the Villanova-Oklahoma game is just going to be terrific.
Rob, you seem like you're a Boeheim guy.
You know, I'm not. It was a good try. Good try. You can usually read me pretty well, young senior. But
yeah, I was being 100% sarcastic. Somebody, I think it might have been Chris, asked this question on his show earlier. Do you think Roy Williams would step down if they win it all? He said it's his favorite team he's ever had at UNC.
He's been very emotional this year. Have you noticed that?
Yeah,
he's like crying all the time. How old of a guy is Roy?
He's got to be pretty old.
He's 70 yet?
Right around 70, I think. Yeah.
I didn't hear what you said.
We went to school together.
I don't think so. I mean, he can still recruit like an animal. Like, that guy still brings in guys left and right, and that's if you think about it, he's won two national championships at North Carolina, and people would say he's not a very good coach. But if he gets a third in 11-year period, that's pretty good stuff. So I don't know why you wouldn't keep going the way he coaches, and he plays a fun style. That's what I appreciate about North Carolina is they essentially do what Iowa State does, except they have 12 guys to do it instead of six, and that makes life a lot easier. And they run up and down the floor and all the big guys, but I've actually enjoyed watching a Roy Williams coach team, which is weird to say because I didn't really like him when he was at Kansas.
Well, and this is kind of a weird question to pose, but this could be the last time we see Jim Boeheim. I think he's been to 8 Final Fours. This is his 8th one. This could be the last time we see him on that stage. Roy Williams, how many Final Fours he's been to? This could be the last time we see him out there. You know, I mean, we're getting close to a
Kruger out there.
Hey, you never know, I guess. He's got, who knows how long he'll coach.
That's true.
The amazing thing about Jim Boeheim is he's a lot older than you think he is. He's got that Bill Snyder ability to not age, or he's been the same age forever. Like Bill Snyder's been 85 years old for 30 years.
Yeah.
Jim Boeheim is 73, he's looked the same for 30 years.
Yeah.
Like, I keep thinking that he's not that old. He's 73. Like
Jim, he would be Snyder's nemesis, though, if there were a movie.
Right.
The Mr.
Joker,
I'm sending letters of apology when my team plays bad, Boeheim. They would have been just
a super villain movie.
Yeah.
It's crazy to think he was literally there at the beginning of the Big East.
Yes. He's been there forever.
When the Big East was created, when Syracuse basketball became what Syracuse basketball is, Jim Boeheim was there, which is crazy.
He's dealt with some stuff. And actually, one of their guys, Tyler Lydon, who had a huge game or had a huge weekend in Chicago, he was Iowa State was one of his finalists, and he picked Syracuse over Fred and the gang.
Wes Johnson.
Jump ship. Reverse Wes Johnson. But no, for them to make it, they're good for them. I think Boeheim's a great coach. I would not like to see him win a national championship, though.
No.
Who had the tweet? I like the Bill Simmons tweet. Did you guys see
The
North Carolina, if when they end up meeting, you could have North Carolina's
teachers.
Players, your tutor, Fab Mello, coming back, kind of combining with the two semi-scandals of the last or full-blown scandals of recent years. But no doubt Boeheim can coach. I mean, you got to tip your cap to him for that.
So who are you guys going with? Who's going to win it all?
I think North Carolina's a team to beat. They haven't really been tested yet, though, so we'll see how they handle a pressure situation. But I think 1 through 10, they're loaded. They are playing as well as those teams in 05 and 09 when they ran away with the titles.
Mm-hmm. What do you say?
I think that I'm going to have to concur. You're right, so deep, so many guys coming at you from so many different ways. I don't know who can stop Bryce Johnson. I can't think of anybody from Villanova who can, or Oklahoma who can, or Syracuse who can. The thing that's weird about Syracuse in this whole run is the fact every experience is so highly valued, but this is mostly a freshman team. So the young and the hungry has kind of helped them, and probably the feeling of being dissed, that they should have been out. I mean, I don't think there's any way they get through Carolina, and I like a Villanova-Carolina final, and Carolina definitely finding a way to get things done.
Has UNC been to the Final Four since they won the national title?
No.
I don't think so.
I think the last time Villanova went to the Final Four is 2009, too.
Yep,
so there you go. That could be a pretty nice little matchup in the national championship game.
Times has Jay Wright been on the doorstep. Maybe I wouldn't be sad if he won one. I think he's a decent enough dude.
Yeah, and he's paid his dues, too. I mean, there's been a lot of times where they should have been really good and did not end up being very, or at least did not live up to as good as they should have been. All right, you guys got anything else to add? What are your last words for the Cyclone Fanatic radio show of this year?
Look forward to seeing Hollywood Higgins in the Final Four.
Did you hear about Chris's development?
I know, I did.
Yeah.
So I assume he'll have me on the show that day just so I can talk to Higgins.
What about you,
my buddy?
Since Chris is getting mentioned left and right here, I'm really looking forward to watching every move that Lon Kruger makes in that Final Four match. Every single one.
Thanks to Sean back in the studio. Thanks to John Seller for getting us set up here at Benchwarmers. Thanks to the crew here at Benchwarmers. They've been awesome all year long. Thanks to our sponsors, Carl Chevrolet, your dealer for life. I'm Jared Stansberry for Brent Bloom and Rob Gray. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Hungerstrike.